your own response. We've had those words, haven't we? Hope, joy, love, peace. And then from Isaiah, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And maybe you want to make put one of those words on one of these and make your response, or on here with Isaiah 9 and put some sort of personal response to who that gift of Jesus means for you. On early hours of Thursday morning, Anne and I went to collect him from Heathrow. And standing at arrivals, you are waiting and watching as people come through the doors, and watching to see, is it going to be Tim? Just something about that anticipation and that looking kind of just spoke to me about that's what Advent is about, isn't it? That God wants us to look for him, to look forward again to his birth, his arrival, and have that sense of anticipation. We've been watching some little films called Meet the Nativity. And again, I think part what these are about are building a sense of where is this going. So they're little very short snippets of a story. And if you've missed them, you can catch up on YouTube, Meet the Nativity 1 and 2. But it's helping us kind of think, okay, where's this going? To build some of that anticipation of looking forward to Jesus. So this is episode 3. Okay, final episode next week. Actually, just to say, whilst I think of it, so we have obviously candlelight next Sunday, but we're going to meet at 5 for those who want to gather together just to praise and prepare. So if you want to be part of that, please do. Please park sensibly, because if you're going to stay through to candlelight, not that you wouldn't park sensibly, but obviously there'll be a lot of people arriving. And if you're not staying to the candlelight, you need to clear off 6-ish in a nice kind of way. Didn't say that very well, did I? So this indescribable gift of Jesus. So I guess two things. We've been looking at, over the autumn, about things that help us grow as Christians. Last week, Mark spoke to us really powerfully about the importance of the Word of God to us. And I guess my one is perhaps slightly less predictable, but it is joy and celebration. That it is part of what God has provided for us to celebrate. We look at the Old Testament and some of the festivals that God asked to be put in place. They were to remind us, to give us a vehicle for celebrating and having joy around who God is and what God has done for us. Luke 2:10, I bring you good news of great joy as we think about Jesus' arrival. Jesus, as he was coming towards the end of his time on earth, says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. His mission to pass on that joy that God has into our lives. And of course, as Jesus started his ministry, he used these words from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be freed from oppressors, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Those words are the words of Jubilee. And in the Old Testament, every 50 years, there would be a year of Jubilee when debts were cancelled, land was returned to the original owners, slaves were set free. A very special time of celebration. And Jesus, in starting his ministry, declares the era of Jubilee, that it's not once every 50 years. It is the era that we're living in under Jesus, is this time of Jubilee where through Jesus' death and resurrection, our things that we owe are written off, and we don't owe God anything. And he shares with us all the riches of heaven, reason indeed to celebrate. Other reasons, if you need them, to celebrate and have joy in our lives is Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I guess we know that if we're that joy and laughter helps energize us and gives us strength, and particularly God's joy in our life of recognizing, again, who he is and what he's done for us. is a source of strength in our lives. It is also, of course, an outworking of the Holy Spirit. So in Galatians 5, we see in that list of the fruits of the Spirit that joy is one of those fruits. And that when God's Spirit is in us, he wants to birth joy in us. And that is a sign of the Holy Spirit in us. I want to just read Philippians 4 because I think it takes us through quite helpful, because I guess sometimes the risk about thinking about joy and celebration is it can seem phony. That is it kind of like a pretend life, you know, thing that we're trying to kind of put on a mask. But Philippians 4, I think, sets it out really well for us. Philippians 4, verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And in case we think that's fake and putting a mask on, he goes on to say this. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. This is the reality stuff. And thank him for all that he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to give us this advice about how to stay in that place where we rejoice and where we experience his peace. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. I think it's great advice about a real joy, not a pretend joy, but a joy and a rejoicing in which we bring our stuff to God, but in the context of thanking him for all that he's done and all that he is, and focusing our mind on all the things which will point us towards him and not away from him. And of course, so celebration and joy is something that God has made available to us. It's part of his creation and something for us to be part of and proactively to put into practice in our lives. But obviously, we're thinking particularly now of Advent and Christmas. So I want to just focus in on that Isaiah passage. And again, reasons to be joyful, reasons to be celebrate as we think about the gift of a son to us, as described in Isaiah 9. And to think about those four titles, those royal titles of Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Can any of you make any sense of this world in 2017? It doesn't make any sense, does it? It gets more and more bonkers. The stuff even like a year ago, if you said it was going to happen in terms of politics or world rulers or decisions or terrorism or whatever, that you, even a year ago, you probably would have thought that's a bit pushing it, you know, a bit far. And now it's kind of happening, and it is impossible to make any sense of what is going on in our world, and impossible to feel very secure when we look just at what is going on in our world. And what's really important about looking at God and looking at the gift of Jesus is Jesus doesn't promise to take us out of that situation. He doesn't promise to explain the why of does this make any sense. But what he does promise to be is our wonderful counselor, to be the one that leads us through, that gives us wisdom in terms of how we respond to the situations we find ourselves in. So God's ways are higher than our ways, and he sees things from a different perspective, and he offers to be our shepherd, to be our guide. He offers us wisdom. If we seek him and ask him for that wisdom, he'll give it to us. So again, as we think about this world, and who knows where 2018 will take us in terms of the world, then do we not need a wonderful counselor to guide us through? And do the people who are our friends and work colleagues and schoolmates and family who don't know Jesus not need to know that there is a God who is a wonderful counselor for them? Mighty God. Again, there's some pretty mighty leaders out there at the moment, aren't there? North Korea and Putin in Russia and Donald Trump. It's all very kind of like strong and mighty and whatever. And we read the Bible, we see time and time again God just reminding leaders who act like that about who's really in charge. I love Daniel and some of those stories of those kings who are just, you know, taken down a peg or two, really, very straightforwardly by very humble people that God uses just to remind the rulers of this world who gives them their authority. And so we worship and we celebrate the gift of Jesus as a mighty God, but a very different kind of mighty from the North Korean version of mighty. A savior, as we heard in that reading that Jill brought, who gave up all that he had in heaven to go into the womb of a peasant girl and to live in the skin of human, to be confined as a man as well as God in his time on earth. A very different kind of mighty, a different kind of mighty that was prepared to be spat on and abused and crucified in order to defeat sin. But that is the real mighty, that is the real strength of God, and the sense of confidence that we can have in our Saviour, who is strong to save, as we look at what he has done and will do for us. So in a world where, again, we can feel quite insecure and maybe even afraid, and in our own circumstances very powerless, we can look to the mighty God in that babe in the manger, the one who created, who threw stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. Thirdly, everlasting Father. I will bound to watch, I think, one of the Toy Stories over Christmas. It's a Jacob's kind of film. And still love that story of Andy with Woody, his favourite toy. They're going to be best mates forever, him and his cowboy toy. This is for life. And then suddenly one Christmas, of course, Buzz Lightyear turns up. And suddenly Woody, for a while, is history. And of course, however exciting Christmas will be, some of this stuff will come and go. And some of those amazing presents will soon be forgotten or broken or be replaced by an even better one. And our world is incredibly temporary, isn't it? We're just full of instant stuff that the next day is gone and over. How many Black Fridays can there be in terms of amazing discounts and you know, the best prices ever till the next Friday? And even Black Fridays that aren't on a Friday, I don't quite get it really, but there's just a load of stuff, isn't there, which comes and goes and has our attention for a few nanoseconds and then goes. But not Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. God is unchanging. And however, I say changing our lives may be, however unchanging our world is, however temporary stuff may seem, then the Jesus we celebrate today is the Jesus who is eternal and offers us eternal life. Not something that comes and goes, but something that lasts forever. And as we heard in Jill's reading, that his love for us is forever. He's committed to us. He has a covenant relationship with us. And finally, Prince of Peace. I guess if we were honest, if I'm honest certainly, then the best present is peace, isn't it? The thing that we need most of all as individuals and definitely as nations and as a world is peace. For all our advances, for all our riches, for all our stuff, for all our achievements, for all our celebrity, for all the mightiness of rulers and whatever, actually what we want is peace, and we want to be at rest. We want to be able to just know that we're safe, a bit like that amazing little orphan lad who wanted to lie next to Jesus because he would be safe and be with him forever. And again, that's the amazing gift that's on offer for us. Not again to take away the circumstances of our lives, but through the circumstances of our lives, to give us a peace that passes understanding, to give us a sense that all can be well with our soul if we put our heart and our trust in Jesus, our Saviour. And he offers us that this morning. So I guess the word to me and I offer to you is, as we enter into a busy time and hopefully a joyous and celebratory time, let's remember those words. Let's remember Jesus. Let's celebrate him. Let's honour him in our lives. And again, just encourage you to to make your own personal response, whether it's on one of those little stars or on the cards or whatever, take those away and just remember those four phrases over the next few days, and give your personal devotion and thanks to Jesus. So do take those away with you if it's helpful. Okay, Francis, can we finish with some celebration?